Blog Talk Radio.
Patriot Family Chat. I'm your host, Linda, filling in for Hollis Buchanan, and this is brought to us by www.patriotfamilies.com, and I certainly hope that Bill Strong will call in because this is half of his show, and I didn't know I was going to do the show today, so I just want to start with some great music. And yes, how long has this been going on? Well, as far as I can see in my history books, since the beginning of time. They're just gearing it up, ramping it up, and ramming it down our throats. So anybody that would love to call in, welcome guest 3168 and Bill, of course, in the chat room, and Yola in the chat room. Always good to have you. Hope you're feeling better, yo, and hanging with us as long as you can. So, again, Bill, call in. Love to hear your rants. Love to hear what's going on. All the stuff that was in the Patriot Family chat room that I kind of missed. There were some pictures apparently floating around from a few years ago. So go ahead and call in at 646-378-0321. I didn't have much prepared because I'm kind of the co-host here, but since I have control of the studio, I'm going to go ahead and talk about what I experienced yesterday. It was quite interesting when I went to the meeting. If anyone was listening to Ron's show, and I think most of you were, that, of course, Robert had us just cracking up. He was hysterical. And I really enjoyed that. That was a lot of fun because he goes on a tangent. Poor Ron, I had to rescue him and call in. But, yeah, it was fun. And then I went to a meeting, and we had like a darn close 3-hour meeting with the Vista Tea Party Patriots. I dropped off the – I'm going to pick up Bill here. Hey, Bill, you're on the air.
How you doing, Linda? How you doing?
Oh, good. You know what I did today? I just dropped off at the post office some nice little seashells for the young one who loves them. So you should get them in a few days.
Oh, my gosh. She'll be so excited. She will be.
And I probably
I'll have to get out the globe and show her where California is on the globe.
Well, some of them came from Hawaii from years ago, so you'll have to show her where that is too. And
okay.
she'll love it. Oh, I'm glad. You know, because they've been sitting around here, and they're going to be more to her than to me. So that's really great. How's things going there for you guys in Indiana, and what's going on the radar for political stuff?
Well, here in Indiana, on the radar is, let's be honest, Mike Pence is pretty much a shoe-in for governor. I don't see any way you can beat him. But
okay.
The sadness is when I've been reviewing some things lately, and I go back to 1992 when Pelosi introduced Agenda 21 on the House floor and the Republicans went along with it. I'm trying to find out just how everybody voted at that time. And
what they did was when they showed them that map from the Wildlands Project of, you know, the end game, they rejected it. They were horrified. They didn't actually, I don't think they made laws. Of course, there's subsequent laws and EPA and, you know, the rest of these clowns. The UN has got a stranglehold.
Well, there was a sign on to the agreement.
Oh, okay. I know that both Bushes did something, and I know Clinton did something, and they're all evil, just pure evil.
Well, let's just be honest. That's the tragedy I find in this whole election, is we're given choices between two establishment guys, either the establishment progressive Democrat or the establishment progressive Republicans. And both sides have been catered into and buying into this Agenda 21 stuff for years. As we were talking about last night, Ron and I, when you go back, the ideology goes back pre-1939. I mean, it goes back.
Sure.
Even further.
Yep.
For this whole agenda and how to do things. And you're seeing Lenin and Alinsky models of everything.
Well, you know, that's why Ron wants to do the timeline, because I know he's talked about going all the way back to Hamilton, but, you know, we can go all the way back to, you know, the Garden of Eden if we want to, because the books that I'm reading, which go back probably 4,000 to 5,000 years when they started out, talking about all the incessant wars and the Assyrians and the Mongols and the this and the that and the Roman Catholic Church and the Dark Ages. I mean, it just it never ends. And so when Lincoln did his, I think it's the, what do you call it, the Liber Code thing, and instituted martial law and all that nonsense, and, you know, like Ron said, the only thing he was trying to save as far as a union was the union of the corporation that, you know, that we don't want. And I'm sure that the Vatican and the Illuminati and the Rothschilds, because they've been around since, you know, Christ was a corporal, and they have been running things like a chess game ever since they've gotten into power. And you know that everybody in our Congress is dancing on the end of a string to these people, because that's what it looks like to me. And that video that I got from Yo today, I don't know if you guys saw it. It was 25 minutes long, and the gentleman from New Zealand blew me away, scared the holy bejesus out of me. And we should be scared. That thing, I swear, once I get on it, I'm sending it viral. So it's insane.
The warnings have been there.
Oh, yeah.
The threat has been there. I mean, it's always been there. And if we go back, it's just like these things that are happening now here in our country with shooting and stuff. You go back months, and you'll see them talking about these kinds of things. It couldn't fall more into their hands. And let's take things a little further. This whole drought thing that hit this whole summer could not have played more perfect into the Agenda 21 hands than it has.
I know.
Now at the time when everybody's trying to sell off their livestock and stuff because they're not going to have the grain to get through the winter, although there's a 40% increase in grain to biofuels.
Well, our food prices are going to go through the roof.
We're going to use our food for biofuels. Well, they'll say, well, that was grain. It's not really our food. No, it went to feed the animals, which we eat. And the whole process now is, okay, now they're trying to link farm-raised animals to global warming.
Oh, geez.
And they're trying to bring they want a meatless Monday.
Yeah.
And things like this. They're trying to drive us all to be vegetarians. And they're using the animal lovers and the Amaro nuts as they're using them to help do so. I've never seen a political system that they are grasped at the lowest denominator of straws to win things.
Yeah, I know. Here's the deal. I have another caller. I think it's Michael Madden. Is that you, sir?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, good to hear your voice again. Welcome to the show.
How's Michael?
I'm doing great, Bill. Thank you so much, and thank you for the great introduction, Linda. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. You know, there was people were speaking yesterday on Ron's show about, you know, monarchies, dictatorships, oligarchies, and I went ahead and looked it up. So oligarchy is a government by the few, a government in which a small group exercises control, especially for corrupt and selfish purposes. Does that sound familiar to you guys? Gee.
I'm sorry. I look at this administration and how they operate and do things, and I'm thinking, this is like the damn Godfather.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. And when that guy was talking
look
about
the Gibson deal, we'll drop the case for $300,000 fine.
Yeah, exactly. And then that guy that was on that tape today, I've got to get that to you, Mr. Magic. The guy from New Zealand, talking about him reducing the military, wanting to get rid of our nukes down to 300, and then just defund the military. Everything that Glenn predicted is coming to fruition. The caliphate's going to come from the Mexican border. The friggin' Chinese are going to come through California, and the East Coast in Canada, the Russians are coming in. You watch.
Well, here's what I've always wondered about, Linda. I'll be honest about the whole nuclear stuff. Is when we got past the point that we could destroy the world, why do we keep on building? How many times can you destroy it?
I don't care.
If they can't, if they got the power to destroy it 100 times, what good does that do? You can only do it once.
I know, but it doesn't matter because God has the final word. What say you, Michael?
Exactly. I once asked another question. Got a big stir from the guy that you came and talked to, Linda, from Kansas State. He used to be a professor there. And my question was, what if they go to fire this and it don't work?
Yeah, it's crazy. Go ahead, Michael.
That's the reason why I called in. I'm actually your guest in the chat room now.
Okay.
Because I'm peeling potatoes. I'm making dinner again for the wife.
Yeah.
Hey, that's a good guy.
She's making, she's working 12-hour shifts every day.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow.
For 10 days, but here's the problem. Here's the real problem behind all of this, okay? This will cover, you know, everything, okay? Is Americans and people worldwide have gotten away from God. I mean, it's like, where do our politicians, you know, come from? Think about it for a second. You know, I mean, they come from American families, American churches, I mean, American parents, American schools. I mean, you put garbage in, you're going to get garbage out, you know. We've gotten away from God, plain and simple.
Well, they're coming back, though, Michael. Believe me, they are coming back in droves.
There's a lot of youth are waking up to the fact of the debt, and they can't find work. You know, they're just graduating high schools and college and stuff, and they're not able to find things. And they're asking us to go back to their parents' homes and stuff.
Yep,
and it
absolutely
ain't sitting good with them. And then they're starting to look at things and do some actual checking into things. See, there's a problem. They're educated. And that it can end up always biting you in the ass.
And the other thing, too, Michael, at the end of this tape was a very uplifting thing because he knows that there's an awakening. And he's very thankful for the Tea Party because he knows what that means. And we've got to win in November. That's just it on a stick because if we don't, we're screwed. But if we do, and then we hold their feet to the fire, which we will, believe me, I'm formulating a letter to Mitt Romney as I'm speaking here in my mind. But and he said, if the Tea Party prevails and we get him out and we can start turning this thing around, for hundreds of years, our names of the Tea Party will be written in history and talked about in the classrooms, believe me. Because, you know what I'm saying? We are a part of it. This is huge. This is huge.
We as Christian, God-fearing, God-loving Americans need to be a majority of the 320 plus million Americans of this country. We need to be over half. We need to be the majority, okay? Then we can stand strong. We will have something to stand on that will not fail us.
The truth is we are the majority, Michael.
We
just don't vote together. We don't vote together. You have it all split up where a lot of them support the Democrats, like a lot of the Catholics and stuff. And then you have the evangelicals on the right, and, you know, it's split up. If they all followed the words that they read and all stuck together and said, okay, this is wrong, in God's eyes, this is wrong, that's just it.
And the other thing,
all stuck together, but they don't because they think they're supposed to be passive.
I think, Bill and Michael, that, you know, that 10% tipping point, you know, that's all it takes, 10%, I think we've got a good 10%. And I think that they are fired up. And when they did their appreciation day for Chick-fil-A, that was volumes. You notice the left didn't talk about it. And not one single person that I know of on any station anywhere in this land covered Glenn Beck's Restoring Love. Not one of them. And he had 35,000 people on the second day, I believe it was, going out, doing days of service out of love of their hearts as Christians for this country and people who needed it. And he had 13 trucks in 11 cities and the food. I mean, he had 100,000 people inside the Dallas Cowboys Stadium, which sold out in 6 minutes when he opened it up. I mean, it's amazing. And not one person. We have got to deal with the media. They are quizzling. They're evil. They're destroying themselves because nobody watches them anymore except the drones and the lemmings. And I'm going to start waking them up. Believe me, I've got stuff. They're going to hate me when I go back to action because I'm going to tell them about Agenda 21. And I'm also going to tell them, you want to badmouth Romney, you better start badmouthing your own guy, Obama, because he's not the only – Mitt Romney's not the only one who has a lot of money. As far as the last count I saw, that Obama's worth $11 million from his book sales. So don't give me that nonsense. And talk about taxpayer money. Believe me, that stimulus package was written a long time ago, and that SOB took $1 trillion of your money and threw it down a rat hole and gave his buddies all the money. Solyndra and that karma country.
How much of that money came back to the Democratic Party?
Like it went to the unions. It went to his friends. It went to all his cronies. It went to Solyndra. It went to the karma thing in Finland. It went to Petrobras down in Brazil. So that
if he loses this election, his union associates are going to, the leadership of the unions are going to pay the price.
Oh, shit. Well, I told my mom, I said, look, I said, if that SOB got reelected and he got his agenda in and Medvedev gets the signal and the rest of these clowns from Hillary get their signal and the rest of this BS, Muslim Brotherhood and the Chinese, and they take us over, the only people who are going to be the lucky ones are the ones that get killed first, believe me, because it will be the Dark Ages. It will
be. You ever notice that the ones he goes out and seeks support from are usually the ones he knows hates America?
Yeah, oh, of course. Oh, his whole life's been that deal. But I told my mom, I said, you wait. When the caliphate, if this happens, and the Chinese and the Russians are all fighting it out, and they start taking power, the minute they get on this thing, because they promised him that he's going to be the big leader of this, yeah, right, he'll be the first to go. You watch. You absolutely watch if that happens. You think they won't? Please. They know he's teleprompter, fool, and an idiot. Can't speak a sentence without that thing, without stuttering.
You think if Islam takes over, they're going to let him live?
Oh, my God. Knowing that he's on the down low? Oh, please.
Knowing he's gay.
That's what I meant. Yeah, he's got the beard, you know.
Hey, I'm from Indiana. You got to talk plainer English.
the blacks call it on the down low when you're hiding in the closet. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah,
Now, I don't know that because around here, the people of color all talk just like the ones that are white. We all talk alike.
I know. See, in California, it's another ball game. I live in Alice in Wonderland, Libtard Land. You got to remember that. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So I get the best of both worlds. It's amazing. Yeah, but you know what I did yesterday? Because Lynn's husband, this is the Vista Tea Party Patriot guys. He's been researching for 2 or 3 weeks, like hours and hours and hours on the internet, and he's come up with these fabulous points, which is going to explain to my council members what's going on with this carbon tax and the complete streets and all this nonsense. And so I took that, and I actually gave the whole package to my council woman, who's running for election, wants to be reelected, and I put a cover letter on there, and believe me, when I told Lynn and Barbara Decker was there last night, and it was great. We had an incredible conversation. She's part of the Anti-Agenda 21 task force here. She got me turned on to A21 about 2.5 years ago. So, and we had a great time and told her what I said, because Jim Wood, his yard signs on the bottom says putting people first. So, baby, I did it. I told Ron yesterday, I said, I turned that campaign slogan right back in their face. And I told her, if that's the truth, then we better have our actions matching our words. And don't you, you know, this is vitally important about public, the private sector, private property rights. It's vital to know this stuff. Their end game is not good. So
here I'm behind a state rep here named Jim Lucas, and I'm big on Jim Lucas. Jim Lucas is, it's almost like talking to Ron. You know,
cool.
I love it. He's a Constitution history type of guy, monetary on the system. Him and Ron together on a show would be something, because
oh, wow.
They have the same. It's the same direction. They move and talk and things. And Jim's the kind of guy, I'll be honest, he don't really care what you think if it's wrong.
Yeah.
If it's
well,
wrong,
you know,
it's wrong. That's just
there's a guy that I would absolutely, and he's pretty far to the left. He's young. He doesn't know any better, but he's willfully ignorant as well, because he sucks up the Kool-Aid from PMS LSD and, you know, stations like that. So, to get him on the air with Ron would be, to me, priceless, absolutely, amazingly priceless, because Ron would, he would be like Milton Friedman on steroids and tear him up in a good, you know, in a kind way, you know, like he did that other call. Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't think he could. It'd be like Ron going after Ron.
Yeah.
It's hard, and I tell you, from having an experience once, when I became a member of a group, the guy that I had to prove myself against was a carbon copy of me. And
oh,
it was
God.
Almost, it was an impossible task almost.
Wow. Yeah. But
and,
this individual, and I don't know his last name, and I won't say the first one because I never know who's listening, but the things that he said to me when we were at the kickoff for Mayor Wood the other day was just astounding. First of all, he wanted to take the Romney bumper stickers and cut them up and put it around so it says our money. And I just, of course, and they always catch me off guard, and I don't know what to say to these people. I'm completely astonished and speechless. And then he was talking about, apparently his inference is that Romney would be stealing the wealth of the middle class with his tax policies, which where the hell he gets that from, I have no clue. And then the
well,
other thing.
Go
ahead.
That's the thing that's been fed. They're feeding out so many mistruths from the left side, it's not funny.
Yeah.
And there's no way to call them.
And my return back to him should have been, oh, but it's okay for Obama to steal $1 trillion from the taxpayers, give it to his cronies and the unions, and pump it down to Finland and to Petrobras so that George Soros can make money, because he's funneling all this money down for this oil company down in Brazil. Oh, that's good. And then Solyndra and several other Solyndra-style things that have all gone bankrupt. Oh, that's perfectly okay with you. I mean, I'm not talking left, right, or indifferent. We know that all the Bushes were bad. We know Cheney was bad. We know that Clinton was no saint.
How much money did Obama let slip back to Acorn? It wasn't supposed to get back to Acorn. How much money did Obama and them okay to give to La Raza and groups like that? Check into that part of it, too. Then you're going to see even more expenses. All of them are anti-American type groups, and they're all being funded by the Democratic Party, which is actually us from the funding. That's the sadness of it all, is they are using our own money to buy us.
Right. And the other thing is, when you look at the Democrat Party, when you look at that tape that I watched, and I got to get it to Michael, on the New Zealand dude, when you talk about the usurpation of the Democrat Party for how many decades now, they're all out and out. They should be card-carrying communists, as far as I'm concerned. And then half the Republican Party has been usurped as well. Believe me, I don't trust any of them except a tiny handful that are still naive enough not to stand up and just scream. you know, and just start impeaching people. They all should, all of them should be in jail. Not just that dude that he talked about, Alice Powers. I think that was her name. Yale probably remembers. It all stemmed from Chicago. This guy has been handed everything on a silver platter. They needed him because they knew that he was left enough and he was commie enough and he was just black enough so that, you know, the guilt trip on the stupid Jews and the blacks and the whites, you know, and the libtards, they just go flocking in there and saying, oh, I'm not a racist. I'll vote for a black man. This is what they counted on, Bill. I know it. And I know it in my heart.
Well, that's where people, and let's be honest, so many people are like that. When it comes to some things, it's about time everybody should just declare themselves colorblind. It's not a matter of a person's skin color. And look at the character of a person.
Right.
I mean, come on. There ain't, I don't know anybody who in their right mind couldn't say that Thomas Sowell is one of the most brilliant minds in America.
And Alan West, too. I adore Alan West. The man is educated.
Alan West.
Alan could
and there's many others. There are many others that are voices out there. And to call them names just because they don't agree with you is, you know, that is the biggest form of racism there is.
Well,
when you start attacking them simply because they don't follow your views, and you, it's okay for you to attack them and call them names.
Well, this is Saul Alinsky. It's all Saul Alinsky. I'm telling you, I just read a whole thing on my emails this morning regarding, there was like, they took the rules.
The complicity of the media in all of this.
Right.
And I'm going to be honest. One thing that really upsets me about a lot of churches is they try to ignore the whole political what's going on.
I know. Because
and by doing that, they're complicit. You are complicit. You are misleading your people.
I know.
You're complicit.
Well, there's a lot of
God is being attacked, and you're being complicit in it when you do not stand up and defend him.
Well, you know what, though? I'll tell you a story. When I saw, I think it was the second day of Restoring Love, and he had like 10, 15 pastors up there, and each took a turn. And there were so many incredible speakers. Those guys are not sitting down and shutting up, believe me. They will say it right from the pulpit. They don't care what the IRS does to them. Either that or they've just told them they can take their 501c3s and put them, you know, in the, where the sun don't shine. And so they're going to speak their minds. And they were fantastic, believe me. Kenneth Copeland was one of them. And the other guy, he was a Hispanic guy, and I'll look him up. But that guy was amazing. He was on fire. He was dynamite, and he don't care. He'll say it right out, and he talks about the Lord, and he talks about the Holy Spirit, man.
I really got a question. This whole shooting incident that just happened, because of who the target was. These are people who, if anybody, I mean, the seeker, they're very quiet, peaceful people.
Yes, they are. Absolutely.
They are not Muslims.
I know. I know that.
And,
but you know what, Bill? Wouldn't be right either. I don't, you know.
Well.
You don't go in and you don't shoot randomly and kill innocent people. I don't care, you know, what they're. You have trial by jury.
That's what I'm questioning was, why were they picked? Knowing that they are an extremely peaceful people. Was that why they were picked?
It's disgusting.
Was that why they were zeroed out? Or,
I don't know.
Or was it as a, you know, was the guy supposed to do, was it because they didn't want to do the attack a different way? Because, heck, I'm hearing many, many reports now that there was multiple people there. There wasn't just one person.
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, you know, you never know who's fomenting this stuff, but you know what? I do. You know that guy in Tucson, that Jared Lochner? I don't know who paid that guy, but that judge role, he was the target. Because
yeah, exactly.
He was going to be the one that was exposing all this garbage.
You notice the media never mentioned what he was up to. It was all about Giffords. They never mentioned him.
Oh, of course. Oh, and you didn't hear it on Fox News? I'm shocked. Absolutely shocked.
I'm not shocked.
I'm kidding. I expect
more honesty from the Breitbart Network and several other networks than I have from any news.
Exactly. And the one that I know Michael has it, I think it's Trends, or there's the one he sent, what was his name? Not
Chapman, transforecaster, international forecaster.
And then there was another one where Lindsay Williams was doing stuff on that other website, which is incredible. And also the other one that's really good for information, oh, God, I'm trying to think of it, not just Breitbart, but, of course, InfoWars and Alex Jones. That guy's a digger, man. He'll find it.
Canadian Free Press.
Joe Salenti Blogspot?
I'm not sure. It said trends.
That's a good
up
one.
Yeah, they're all good.
Yes, they are.
Some of the kids on the Blaze try to get as much as they can, too. They get a lot of good stuff. They get videos that a lot of people don't have.
When it comes to videos, there's nobody like Mr. O'Keefe.
Oh, absolutely.
super.
Breitbart was the same way. And, of course, we'll never know the truth about that. I'll bet they had a dart gun with succinylcholine in it. I'll bet you. Bastard.
All they had to do was look him a shot of adrenochrome.
Well,
just
whatever.
Pure adrenaline.
Yeah, whatever they used. I know. Disgusting.
Yeah, you know, as far as that incident goes in Colorado, okay, when you take all of the facts and you look at everything that happened there and the way it happened, I'm almost believing that is a sort of a practice event so that they can do something similar in late October, so that they don't have to have an election in November because they're going to do it a little bigger and a little better next time.
Well, you know what I think? I'm not sure about that, Michael, but I did hear the story, and I can't remember if it was Terry Kiley or somebody on Facebook talked about this dude's, this Holmes guy's father here in San Diego who was involved in a lot of left-wing stuff, but he was supposed to be going to be blowing the whistle on the banking cartels and a lot of nefarious things going on there. And that, who knows what, what's up with this. I don't know who the targets were, what, And then there was another
point. The point is, it has gotten to the point that we have to question our government on everything because we can no longer trust them.
Nope.
We know we
absolutely
can no longer trust them. So even if it's the truth, we're still going to question it anymore because we're used to nothing but lies.
Yep. For centuries. Pretty much.
I agree, Bill.
So, you got Michael, how are you doing with the move? Are you almost settled?
Almost. You know how it is when you're unpacking boxes and you're trying to find places for things. I mean, it seems like stuff goes into the boxes much better than it comes out.
I have to tell you.
I don't feel sorry for you, Michael, because I'm helping my mom and dad unpacking stuff, and that's worse because I'm taking it out of the box and I got to wait on one of them to tell me where it goes.
I got a wife like that. See.
I've always found it easier somehow to unpack than to pack because I've never finished packing. It's like it's an endless thing to try to get every little nook and cranny and get every piece and every broom and every dustpan. Oh, it's just a nightmare. Unpacking to me is like the least of my worries.
I'm still looking at September 1st to do my first full 2-hour show again because we have. Sandy's got her family. We missed two family reunions already, and she has her three grandkids coming up here this Saturday on the 11th for a week. So then we're almost close to the 20th, and we still haven't finished doing everything we need to. So I think by the 1st of September, whichever Saturday is close by there, I'm going to jump in and get ready to be, controversial because I'm going to jump in and I got stuff to say, man.
All right.
Well, you know,
somebody's got to say it, Michael. That's the thing. Somebody has to say it.
Well, that's it. And I don't take anything for granted because it's always so simple to follow the power, to follow the greed, to follow the corruption. It's not hard. It's not like you're out in the 1860s following wagon train wheels, okay?
Money is
easy to follow. Greed is.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I gotta stop you on that one for a second, because everybody loves Milton Friedman, because he was pretty genius, and he talks about capitalism, and he talks about greed, and he talks about all these things, because when he was lambasting pretty much in his own way Phil Donahue way back in the day, it was amazing, because he said, so tell me which of these government institutions in other countries don't run on greed? You know, and did Hitler reward virtue? And did Stalin reward virtue? Does any president in the United States appoint his cabinet members by rewarding virtue? No. And then he says, where are these angels you're going to find to help us run this government, I may ask you? That was brilliant. I love it. So, you know, you got to look at the ideology, and you got to look at how they put their regimes together. Not good. And that's why we don't trust the media, and we don't trust the government, because they've turned into beasts. They've turned into leviathans.
But we are seeing a new rise of a new kind of politician that is really not the establishment type of politicians, and they're taking hold and they're winning. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Our only problem is, when it comes to the race for president, we're not going to have that kind of a choice that we got with, like, when we took Murdoch over Lugar, or Texas took Ted Cruz over his opponent, or any of these other things, other wins that we've had. Therein's our problem. Even though we may elect Romney.
I know.
Is that going to stop the pushing into Agenda 21?
Did I hear somebody say about electing Romney? Okay, is anybody out there aware of the fact that George Bush Sr. publicly, 6 months ago in Texas, supported, and I forget the exact word, slips my mind, but he backed Romney, okay? And we know that Mr. Bush is a member of the New World Order, the global elite, okay? So what does that make Romney when George Bush Sr. supports him in public? What does that make Romney?
You're going right where I was at there, Michael. You're right there where I was
sorry.
At.
I'm sorry.
Are they trying to tell me that electing Romney is going to change that, when in the past it has been both Bushes and many other Republicans out of the establishment that have been right there on board pushing this agenda, the same as the Democrats? Both sides have been doing it. It hasn't been one side. So you're telling me that we're going to elect an establishment Republican and it's going to change it? It's not going to change it.
Hey, Ron, how you doing?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Hey, I'd love to see Ron Paul.
Well, too, in my dreams.
I can't put any faith in that, and electing Romney's going to save us. So I got to put more faith in the fact that who we elect to the Senate and the rhinos we can get removed out of the Congress and still hold the power over the Congress, there is where we're going to come out ahead this time around. And in 2016, then maybe we can get a true conservative in that office, and he don't have to come out of the establishment.
Well, you know,
go ahead. I'm gonna leave in about 5 minutes, so just let me finish up here, and I'll let Ron get in here, because I want to say hi to Ron, and I want to say hi to Yola. You know, it's like I said before, voting, I'm sorry, and you can think what you want to of me, okay? You can think I'm the most, whatever. I don't care, okay? But I'm not voting. It ain't worth it. I'm sorry, but it is not worth it to go and vote. They're counting votes in different countries, and what good does it do? It doesn't matter if it's now, if it's 4 years from now, if it's 8 years from now, or 12 years from now. Where do politicians come from? Where do they come from? They come from families that no longer, they come from churches that no longer support the true word and faith of God like they need to. And until we get somebody, until we get enough people that can vote for Ron Paul, okay, who I believe is a true Christian, okay,
who have done enough research on to believe that. Until we get enough people that can do that, I mean, voting is a lost cause. I mean, they're going to do whatever they want to do. Go ahead.
Well,
thanks,
you know,
Michael.
I understand why you feel that way, Michael. I do. And the truth is, it ain't our vote that elects them anyway. But for me, I'm going to go vote because I just feel like it's a duty of mine to vote. But I also vote in my state elections and my local elections at that same time. So that's another reason for me to go vote, because on that level, I do have an effect. I can get behind a guy like Jim Lucas. I was talking about this, a true conservative with Christian principles and values, and he don't back down. He doesn't give in to nothing. That's him, and that's who he is, and he won't change that.
There are a few good people out there, but the bigger and the better, okay? The congressmen, the senator, they're always going to have some type of control unless those people, like the one that you're talking about there, Bill, unless those people have morals and values that they are standing strong on and they will not leave them for anything, okay? Then you have a point. But unless that, you're always going to have somebody else trying to influence. You know?
True, but Michael, we're seeing non-establishment politicians defeat the establishment politicians. We've seen it here in Indiana when Lugar got beat by Murdoch. We've seen it in Texas when Cruz won. We've seen it in other places now, four or five times now we've seen it, and we're going to see more of it. That's your hope. That's your change to things around, is that way. And then when the establishment crumbles because they're no longer... people are no longer kissing their butts and see through that they are the same as the other side, that they're all about the same thing, and that is the greed for wealth and power.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Makes the people a lesser thought to them. It's only the money and the power they think about. They don't think about the people.
Right. I apologize to Ron there. I got on a little bit of a rant, Ron. And it is time for me to go. I need to finish cooking dinner for the wife here. It's just about done. So
cool.
I just want to thank everybody. Thank you.
Thank you.
I want to thank everybody. And have a great evening and a great show. And we'll see you again soon.
All right. Love you,
guys. Michael. God bless.
God bless, Mike.
Ron, what's happening in Georgia?
Oh, man, not much. You know, I was just... come in to listen, and I figured Linda would see me and pick me up anyway, so no problem there. But, you know, I agree with you and Michael both, which is not difficult, really, if you think about it. And I think you're right. We cannot just simply give up, okay? I agree with Michael in the sense that voting... you know my stance on voting. Slaves vote. That has been my stance for a long time. And there's a reason that I believe that. That doesn't mean, however, that I won't go out and participate in local elections. Because I will. And I've tried to get involved, you know, at the local level and more. But you mentioned something there, Bill, that you were talking about the establishment, getting the establishment guys out of there. The problem is that even if we replaced everyone in Congress with someone like Ron Paul and Rand Paul,
right,
the establishment itself is still there.
In power.
The bureaucracy still exists. And those trusted advisors are there to counsel all these new, young, fresh minds on the reasons why they should not do X, Y, or Z, and how it would be detrimental. And even if they ignored all of the warnings and the naysayers, and they went ahead and implemented what they know to be a right and proper government, the result of that would be an utter collapse of the system within this country,
Right.
And the people, society, even those who were staunch believers, would begin to be doubting Thomas's very quickly when it directly impacted their lives in a very negative way.
And becoming a total slave won't.
Right. But again, better the slavery that you know than the unknown. This is why I've always talked about the comparison between the Exodus with Moses and what we're experiencing right now. Because even though they knew that they were slaves in Egypt, it was a familiar life. They knew what was expected of them, and they found some sense of security in that.
So,
and the freedom that they were being offered through the Exodus was a complete unknown, and they didn't know God, you know, and they had no faith, and they didn't trust.
And that's therein lies the problem, Ron, because it takes a hell of a lot of courage to do what needs to be done and to go ahead and say, okay, take away that damn Social Security. I'd rather make $4,000 a month in, you know, in the oil towns of North Dakota than this nonsense, because I'm on a treadmill.
Absolutely.
You know?
And that's
why the founders, can you imagine the fear in their hearts when, you know, except for their trust in the Lord, when they signed that declaration? That had to be monumental.
To me,
absolutely.
Me, to take down the establishments and to reinstitute the power of the people to the people, and to me, and all the things it would take to start setting this country right, it would lead to an exciting time in this country again.
Yes, it would.
Knowing in your heart, everybody knowing in their heart, we're doing this for the right reasons. We're returning
things
to the right reasons.
Absolutely.
But see, the problem, there again, the problem is that you have this entitlement class out there.
No.
And many of them would otherwise be conservative at heart. But they can't see past their own self.
I know.
Even though so many, all the progressives, you know, that it's all selfless. It's all for the collective. It's all for everyone else.
Right.
You know, they can
and
sell
then
that.
And then on that means they're so ignorant that they don't see that when the agenda comes about and it's all put in place, that they're first ones gone.
Yeah.
Because under that kind of a collective agenda, you know, if you don't have if you don't serve a purpose, if you don't provide a function to the collective, then you're useless. You're worthless, and they get rid of you.
Useless eaters. They don't get that part of it. They're you know, I don't know. They're disillusioned or brainwashed.
There's no entitlement program under that.
No.
But you know, something that I kick myself for not recognizing more clearly. In the past, and you know, I heard Mike Church this morning. I was listening to his show, and he said something that really struck a chord. And I thought, you know, he's right. And he was talking about sovereignty and the sovereign. Okay. And here's the problem: the courts, in particular the Supreme Court, they have set a line of precedence for decades, speaking about the federal government as being the sovereign, okay? And the states and the state legislatures and the state Supreme Courts, they have set precedent within individual states of the state being the sovereign. And what they've all lost sight of is the fact that we, the people, are the actual sovereigns.
Absolutely.
Okay?
I am one, too.
And
you betcha. Under God.
From whence does the state arise, but from the people?
Yep.
From whence does the federal government arise, but from the people? Okay,
yep.
We are the sovereigns, the state, as it were, whether it be local or national, is not a sovereign. We are, and the founders recognize that. That's why it is in our Declaration of Independence that government derives its just authority
exactly.
The consent of the governed. Now they've twisted the word consent to mean you weren't willing to go to prison for life, so you acquiesced, consented.
I know. It's turned everything on its head. And when you talk about we the people, just read the 10th Amendment. Those powers not enumerated to the federal government devolve to the states and then ultimately to the people. My
well,
God.
You know, some of the examples that Mike Church was giving as an example of the sovereignty, because, and we've had this conversation on my show several times, that, you know, the southern states were in fact defeated by conquest, by the Union, by the federal government. And he said, well, that's true, but that doesn't mean that the states ceased being sovereigns, and that the
right.
people within the states ceased being sovereigns. And the perfect example of that, that illustrates it better than any that I can think of, is the King of England was defeated by the revolutionaries in the Revolutionary War, yet he remained the sovereign in his own territory.
Right.
He just was removed as the sovereign in ours.
Well, yeah, he was no longer king of us. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. Because we had, they said no more. No mas. It's like, bye. And then they went back to the 1812. Now, that was my question. When we had the War of 1812, was that a just war when they just, like, decided to come and destroy the White House?
I wholeheartedly believe that the War of 1812 was all about banking.
Oh, geez. So here
I'm
we go.
Serious.
What was
it? Go back and look at it. And I mean, this
oh,
that was the threat.
But war wasn't.
1812. He
said what war was not about banking.
Yeah, probably. Well, when you go back in time before, or I don't think that there was a before the Roman Catholic Vatican, but it was always about power and pillaging and treasure and taking over, you know, real estate. Throughout the Assyrians and the Mongols and the rise of the Caliphs, all of this stuff, it's always been the same damn thing. Everybody wants their greed. There's no virtue. They don't believe in God. They want to wipe Christianity off the map. They've been trying it for how many centuries? I can't even count.
See, this is exactly the reason that I want to put together the timeline that I've been talking about. Because if you look at it, you know, we talk about all these things that occurred in history. And
right.
they're far removed, and we don't see the progression, okay?
Right.
We don't see the progression from one, you know, generation to the next.
Right.
And we talked about the War of 1812, which occurred in 1814, ironically enough. How long after that were we in the Civil War here in the United States? A scant 40 years. Okay, 42, 46 years, and we're into Lincoln's War. Okay, and if we look at the motivation behind the War of 1812, and we look at the motivation behind the Civil War, and then we look at our expansionary wars when we had the Mexican-American War and our war against the Plains Indians, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's not so far removed that we transition into World War One, boys and girls.
I know.
At that time, you know, this is the idea of the League of Nations is brought out. But let's go back, because you remember I talked about Lincoln and his damn Lieber Code, okay?
Oh, yeah.
And the Lieber Code was in direct response to something that happened in Europe. The first convention at Geneva.
My God.
Guess what they were discussing at the first convention in Geneva?
Talk to me.
World peace.
Oh,
world
geez.
Disarmament.
Oh, my God.
Okay, we're talking the 1840s, 1850s.
God. Yep.
Who was predominant? God. Who was the predominant author of the philosophy at that point in time was Karl Marx and
uh-huh.
his writings, and he was in England. Because he was ostracized and run out of Germany.
Oh, my gosh.
And if you follow it back, the ideology, if you follow back the ideology from the League of Nations, you find
uh-huh.
names coming up like Immanuel Kant, who was a Prussian philosopher.
Jeez.
Who some of the people involved with the League of Nations espoused that's the philosophy they were trying to generate, this utopian world where there was no war and we would all settle our differences through arbitration.
Oh,
central
it kind of sounds
body.
Like, sounds like that regionalization nonsense that you sent to me from 1974 under Reagan. And I actually, last night, I talked to two wonderful people, Lynn Welke-Happel from Vista Tea Party Patriots at the meeting, and Barbara Decker, who's my mentor on Agenda 21. And I sent them that whole link, and I told them it's going to take you a long time to read it, but you've got to see this. And they promised they would do it. They're just, like, so happy that I went to see the mayor. They were, like, ecstatic. You know, they go, keep doing it.
Absolutely. But to my mind, I mean, you know, I know there's lots of different angles that and different soapboxes that we all get on.
Right.
But I'm trying to understand what gave rise to this ideology, because that's all it is. It's a philosophy. It's a way of thinking. Okay.
Yeah.
And it has poisoned and infected many people. And at the surface, on its surface, it sounds like a wonderful goal.
Of course it does.
Okay,
it
world peace. I mean, my goodness, who isn't for world peace?
Oh,
but
please.
It's how we get there. It's the methodology, the mechanism of how we get there that is problematic, because it necessarily means that we have to ascribe to the ideology of philosopher kings. The idea that only a select group of elites, or as Mike Church affectionately calls them, and I'm going to start calling this, I'm going to steal some of his stuff, the mosquito class. Exactly. Thank you very much. He calls them the mosquito class. So only the mosquito class is intelligent enough, enlightened enough.
Oh, God.
Okay, to be able to do this for us, and it's for our benefit.
Oh, yeah.
And
no
mistake, I've read enough of the occult philosophy.
I know.
Okay, that this is what these people believe they're employing. There's only one problem with it. If you actually read the true adepts of the occult,
mm-hmm.
What you find is that what they are telling you in all of these books is that if for one moment you are not able to put aside self and you are going after the knowledge and the abilities of becoming so closely connected to the spirit of God, so spiritual, that if you can't put aside your own self, gee, this sounds a lot like scripture, you have to die to self. If you're not able to do that totally and completely, what you end up with is what they called in the occult black magic.
And it
is detrimental to everyone around you and the individual themselves, because it consumes you and you become evil.
Wow.
Now, how profound is that? I mean, to me, this is very profound. I'm just trying to put it all together in one cohesive thought, you know?
I know. One quick
that's
thing.
A pretty good, that's
go
a
ahead.
Pretty good try. because that's hitting it all in aspects of how it is. It's just evil. It's beyond.
It is.
And they're still in their minds, because, see, they know these things. They know this. They've read these books that
mm-hmm.
I'm reading. Okay? They've read stuff from these occult writers, and they know. They're reading the same things, so they're convincing themselves that it's all out of benevolence for mankind and the welfare and the spiritual well-being of the whole planet.
Oh, yeah.
Okay? And they they just buy into the whole thing.
Yeah, here's the problem. I mean, we've already got our blueprint. Of course, they reject God, so you can't go to the Bible with these people. I mean, they think they are gods. They're nihilists, Ron, I'm telling you. And I did go after your show this morning, last night when I was watching TV, I went to the dictionary, and oligarchy is government by the few, a government in which a small group exercises control, especially for corrupt and selfish purposes. Gee, sound like our Congress?
But see, they're not, Linda. In their minds, it's not for selfish purposes.
Oh, Christ.
The fact, and here's the thing, and I believe this is true. Here's the thing. It is a self-fulfilling ideology, because as they progress and as they become wealthy and more powerful, right, they're convinced that the power and the wealth is just a sign that they're on the right track and they're doing all the right things.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Just, I'm telling
you, mean
you.
Like Gang, you kind of like Genghis Khan thought?
Absolutely. But see, in their minds, they are absolutely, I believe it. I think if you watch, it doesn't take a genius. If you watch Pelosi and Barney Frank and some of these others, not all of them. I don't believe Charlie Rangel is in that group. I think Charlie Rangel is one that he knows damn good and well what he's doing. He's hitched a ride on the gravy wagon, and he's not about to give it up. Okay? There are some, but I'm telling you, read Pelosi, Barney Frank, they are 100% wholly convinced of their benevolence.
Oh my God.
Oh, you know Pelosi is. She thinks she's got it all under control, and she's the masterpiece. She's the one that brought the whole agenda of 21 on the House floor.
That bitch,
yeah,
I know.
She is convinced of her own superiority.
Exactly.
But she doesn't She doesn't want to try and flaunt that in verbiage. She's not going to come out and say it because that would be antithetical to the whole occult philosophy.
Yeah.
But she carries it very poorly.
The truth is, I see her passing away within the next 4 years.
She has that aura, that air of arrogance about her, as does Barney Frank.
Oh my God!
Harry Reid and Joe Lieberman. Phil Graham, Newt Gingrich.
Yep.
I see these people. They nauseate me to watch them.
They're
Mitt Romney. Obama.
Prince Rebus.
I mean, these people. They are convinced of that they are doing what is correct and right and good, and nothing is going to convince them otherwise.
It's insane, these people.
If you really want to get an insight, you can read a book, The Spiritual Center of Man by Manly P. Hall.
Okay.
And just imagine, as you read the words that he's writing, because the words that he's put into the book are truly the true occult philosophy, going all the way back to, ancient Egypt and before.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
And Hermes, who was a Greek philosopher.
Well, someone has always wanted to rule the world.
Yes.
Well, the interesting thing, I mean, when you get back into the Greeks and the Egyptians, they didn't really necessarily want to rule the world, okay? They actually put into practice, or tried to put into practice, the true occult philosophy, and they tried to benefit everyone. The problem with that is that we're talking about mere mortal men.
Right.
We're human beings, and our human nature gets in the way of being able to achieve that philosophic goal of oneness with God.
We're not allowed to recreate the Garden of Eden. He's already said that. I mean,
right.
But nobody, Nobody listens because
it can't be done. Now that doesn't mean we should run out and every time we get pissed off at our neighbors, you know, start a war.
No.
Because
no.
we don't what Mexico's doing.
Well, here's the thing. You know, we've talked about this spiritually before, you know, because I'm written in the Lamb's Book of Life does not give me license to go out and, you know, blaspheme and do all the other bad things. It's
right.
not there.
No.
No. We can't do that. That's not Christ-like. No,
and
no.
And that's really what all this occult knowledge and wisdom is trying to teach, the very
right.
same thing that Christ was trying to teach. And if you're reading the Bible, it's the very same lesson, and that is we must die to the flesh. It's a process. It's a very
right.
long, it's a lifelong process where we
yeah.
learn by our mistakes. We don't blaspheme God when we have failures. We embrace those failures and we praise him for the lessons that we should be taking from those failures.
Right. And
move
I'm going
forward in our spiritual journey towards getting to know our Father.
And here's the deal. I'm going to go to heaven an unperfected person.
Absolutely.
He doesn't expect me to walk on water before he takes me out. Hello.
But
I know
what,
that.
Right. No, but what he did tell us and what Christ told us is that we can do these things.
Right.
What he did and more, he told the disciples, even greater things than these you will do.
He's given us the authority, but he has to give each individual their gift. Right.
There's a reason why you only use one-tenth of your brain.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
He's giving us the clues that if we stop going through life looking for self and self-fulfillment and, you know, possessions. And
right.
if we focus on him, if we
right.
focus on God, and we focus on purely wanting to please him
exactly.
and being in his will
yeah,
and
yeah.
perfecting
Amen.
Who he made us to be.
Sure.
The closer we get to him, the more like Christ we become.
Right, right. We're not going to get all the way there. He doesn't.
We're not
going to
become Christ. We're not going to become gods.
No.
And that's where the line gets crossed when you get into the occult, and especially the dark side of the occult things.
Right. Well, like I told my mom this morning, you know, the greedy evil ones who are very self, you know, prophesizing and very selfish-centered people and for selfish purposes, you know, I don't care whether you're going to heaven or you're going down to hell, you can't take it with you. So what the hell are you doing? You know, it's stupid.
And, you know, and when you look at it, if you seriously look at it from a pragmatic point of view, the only thing right now in this country and in every country around the globe, the only thing that is keeping us from the utopian world that all these others, Marx and Engels and all the rest,
is God.
Have ever espoused that they wanted, okay? No, it's selfishness.
Wow. Wow.
It's our own self. We are so unwilling to give up what we have worked so hard to gain. This is where the ideology and the philosophy blossoms into, since I'm not willing to give it up, I'll put myself in a position of power and I'll force everyone to give up theirs.
Oh, okay.
And if we can force everyone to give up theirs, then we'll achieve it and we'll have our utopia.
Yeah, right. Well, this is going the antithesis of what we have been indoctrinated with. If you go by the Constitution and the Bible, if you go by the Judeo-Christian morals and virtues, et cetera, then, you know, they're trying to erase all of that, and they're doing a damn good job. We're fighting back. You know, to preserve one's life and to preserve one's little home and their family and their food and their clothing, that's not a self-fulfilled purpose. That's, you know, we can still store up our treasures in heaven and still take care of ourselves and defend our lives. That's
well,
my point.
and you see, the whole reason that they have to do away with religion, whether it's Christianity or Buddhism or Islam or any other religion, okay, maybe not so much Islam as the remainder of the other, you know, major religions, that all the major religions teach the same thing.
Yep.
And that is, it is an individual journey.
Yes.
It is a journey of self and self-fulfillment, you know, becoming, blossoming in that relationship, one-on-one relationship with the deity, with the creator, with God.
I call it a self-awareness.
It's not a collective.
Right. It's a self-awareness.
They can't have you worshiping a higher power than them.
That is correct.
That's it.
See, because of that philosophy that, okay, they're not willing to give up theirs, so we're going to force everyone else to give up theirs, okay? And the only way they can see clear to see that it would work is through force.
Oh, yeah.
Because where you're never going to achieve in the span of eons,
right,
in society of individuals, you're never going to achieve each individual on their own reaching a level of what the Buddhists would call oneness, okay, where they were all benevolent, truly benevolent, and selfless.
No.
Never gonna happen.
No, because we're flawed. We are a fallen world, Ron. So, I mean, God knows this, and he loves us still, which that's why I give praise, worship, glory, and all the credit to, which I should. You know, it is a definite individual spiritual journey with the Lord and His Word and that connection with the Holy Spirit. This is the most powerful spirit anywhere in the universe. And I'm telling you, God's going to have the last word no matter what. So these people can pound sand. I'm not complying. I'm not condemning them because that's God's job. But, you know, I think
in reality, God is the Spirit,
in this
universe.
Yeah,
no, he is the Spirit. Everything,
the one.
Everything comes from Him.
Yes, yes. Let there
Without
be light.
Without Him,
and
there
light
is
obeyed.
Nothing.
Yep. And when He spoke, and He said, "Let there be light," light obeyed, didn't it?
I'll tell you, there was that movie I was talking about. It's kind of corny, but, man, I'm telling you, that was phenomenal. Where they went through the scientifically the idea of light and God saying, "Let there be light," which means that there wasn't light at the moment of creation. There was no light. It was darkness. And the speed of light, the expansion of the universe, it's amazing. It was an amazing thing. And what we perceive as time and our perception of time versus God's perception of time.
Another story, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know.
Michael said something the other night, and I believe he's correct. Okay? But that doesn't mean that me personally, I don't have that spirit of surrender in me. Okay? But I believe he's correct in that regardless of what we do, it doesn't matter what we do to a point.
Right.
Because it's only going to go so far
before
it gets reeled back in. And I think a lot of that will come not necessarily from God intervening, but the way He created us.
Right.
That only a few of us fall through the cracks into pure evil.
Yeah.
Like Hitler, Stalin, Mao.
Right.
Okay.
So
but the majority are attracted like gravity to goodness. And so we're only going to expand out so far before there's a reaction and it comes back towards the center.
Well, yeah, but, you know, that's why every night I pray to Him. I say, "God, let us have Your will be done. In Your time, not mine, you know. You show me That's what I tell him, because I know that he has a plan and I want his will to prevail, and it will. I just want him to know I'm on his side. You know, makes sense. Wow.
Absolutely.
That's go ahead, Bill.
Well, that's the whole thing there, is a lot of us feel like right now that's who we turn to.
Oh, yeah.
And we should have been turning that way the whole time.
Exactly. I know. I'm
here now. We would not be in the mess we were in if we had any of us paid attention.
Well, you know, that's one of those, the old saying, you know, hindsight's always 20/20. And I think the reason that we do, the reason that we do what we do as human beings, and you can see it throughout history, you know, when you study history and you look at it, for the exact same reason that we will never achieve utopia, okay, on this planet, is the exact same reason that we will never, all of us, 100% surrender and commit to God. Because there's always going to be that little bit
right.
of spirit of individuality left
mm-hmm.
in us that we just can't cast off.
Right.
That's
always
true, and that's wherein a lot of people have trouble with their relationship with God, is they're not able to say, you know, heck with me, whatever you, it's all you. And
go ahead. Sorry.
Well, that right there causes the problem. You're not willing to totally give in to Him. Well, then how, you know, you're not going to get the total gift that you should get.
You know, one of the things that Christ talked about was us all being in of one mind. Okay? If we could all, and I believe this is, I mean, this is just a theory, but I believe that if it were possible for every human being on the planet to have the same belief and hold it so dearly and deeply, all at the same instant in time, we would be transformed. There would be a change. We would be back to one.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah.
You know, that we got a lot of folks on this planet, so that's why I pray every night, and I know Bill does, and a lot of my people here, you guys all do, that the others will come to know the Lord, because that's the way, the truth, and the life, and the light, and we are the light of the world. He is the light of the world, and let's let it shine. You know, I just want to do the right things, and I think that there are many people, and they're just individual people in spatters of time who have tried to do the right thing. I mean, the Paulinas from Poland, the Corrie Ten Booms of Germany, the Bonhoeffers of Germany. I mean, all these people tried so hard because they were compassionate, Christian-loving, God-loving, human-loving people. This was the right thing to do. They were God-loving, God-fearing people. And I want to be among them. I would love to be that, said I'm righteous among the nations. My God, would Christ do any less?
Well, you know, if we take a spiritual view of history, you begin to realize something real quick. And that is, number one, God knew what He was doing, okay?
Yeah.
And all those people that are more morally good than evil, we outnumber the evil ones by a magnitude of the power of 10.
I believe you're right. I do. Absolutely.
If it were not so,
yeah,
we would have dictator after dictator. We would have Adolf Hitler, Mao,
yep.
Stalin, Pol Pot,
oh, yeah.
daily, in every nation around the globe,
yeah,
vying
exactly.
for power. and murdering each other on a daily basis.
I agree with you.
We would have horrific genocidal acts going on continuously. There would be no end. You couldn't kill enough Hitlers to get rid of them all.
I know. And here's why I believe that you're saying the right thing, because as we look around the world today and we see that we've lasted 236 years, praise God, that it is providential. I'm telling you, I think everything that's happening, he has his hand in this all the way, Ron, and he knows, and I know whether, and I think that's why he's waking people up. He works in mysterious ways, and I think that people are finally getting it. Not everybody, you know, has to have a bullet in their face or a barrel of a gun like Matt.
You know, I look at it from a more preterist viewpoint, and we've had that conversation many times. And here's my take on the whole thing, as to kind of summarize the whole thing. I agree. God knew exactly what he was doing. It's not up to me to even begin to attempt to question the mind of God. And because of that, you know, he gave us a tremendous gift besides the gift of Christ. Okay.
If we
look back, we have history. Yep. And we have a Bible.
Yep.
And in that Bible, he gives us examples through the different stories in that Bible that we can relate directly to what we're living in right now today.
Absolutely.
And we can see very clearly, if we only bother to look, what the outcome is going to be. And guess what? The good guy does always win in the end.
I think we have Michael back. Are you back, Michael?
Yes, ma'am. I am. And, I'm in the middle of eating, but I still had to run and grab the phone because, you know, Ron always gets me worked up. You know, what can I say? But I love him to death. I love him to death. But I heard him say something about 10 to 1 that, you know, fix me if I'm wrong here, Ron. You know, that there's, you know, this many more Christians, and if there weren't, then we'd have all these Hitlers and this is that. You know, look around us. Look at our government. Isn't that enough to convince you?
No, sir.
Go ahead.
It's not. It's not. And don't misunderstand my statement. I never said Christians.
Oh, okay.
And I did not mean to imply Christians. What I'm saying is that the number of people on the planet that are a percentage of good more than they are a percentage of evil, say 49-51, okay? So the guy's only 49% evil, 51% good. He's still got a conscience. There's some things, some lines that he won't cross. That's what I mean. That the presence of good far outweighs the presence of evil.
I disagree.
By a factor of 10.
I disagree. You want to know why? I don't care if you go around and do good works. If you donate to churches, okay? If you and do all your life, if you never swear, okay? And you do good works for, you know, thousands of people. You know, you donate this and that. If you do not believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died and shed his blood for the forgiveness of your sins so that you could be saved, all that was done that I talked about before I just said that is worthless.
Well,
okay.
I hear what you're saying.
Amen.
In terms of being a Christian and having a relationship with God. I understand that. That is not what I'm talking about.
I'm talking
about what God created, how he created us.
Yes.
Okay. The majority of us, even if we're not believers in God and believers in Christ, we are more good than we are evil. If we were just going to get out of scale and put everybody on the scale and all the ones that are 51% evil go over here and all the ones that are 51% good or more go over here, regardless of religious belief. It's right. Just inherent nature, human nature. Yes.
What does that get us? That, you know, 50%, 51% are good, you know, and 49% are evil. What does that get us?
I can't know anyone's heart, Michael. It's not my job. It's God's job. I can only pray for their souls, and I can pray every night that they will come to know Him, because that's what we want. We don't want, you know, hell to be huge and heaven to be small. I mean, let's face it. But
isn't it going to be that way?
And I think that Ron is right in one aspect. If the reverse were true, I'd run out of ammo in less than 24 hours. Do you know what I mean? I believe there's goodness in America. So,
and you are judging, Linda. You are judging what is good and what is not good. And that's not your job.
I know. I'm not trying to. But I'm saying that if...
It is your job. To make a decision on what's
job,
good or bad.
I'm saying that if there were more evil ones and Stalin's running around, I'd be shooting all day long. And then they'd take me out anyway. You know? I mean...
Yeah. You can make a decision, sure, that's fine, but it's not up, you know, for me to judge and say. No, I'm talking about myself, yeah, and you know, I'm not. I hope I'm not cutting to the bone here with anybody, because that's not my intent by any means.
I
just get a little carried away sometimes, but I just think that, you know, that's, you know, we came here, God created us, and He gave us a free, independent choice as to whether we wanted to serve Him or serve somebody else. So why are we sticking our nose in the middle and saying, well, maybe some are good, maybe some aren't good. Well, this guy could be good because he donates and he works for the church and this and that, you know.
But I think you're misunderstanding the point, and that
I might be.
It has to do with the context, okay? I'm not making character judgments on anyone, and I'm talking about it, and I thought that I had made that statement. If it were possible, okay, if we remove God from the equation for a moment and look at life on this earth, and we look at our past history, Had he not given us the spirit that He has, more predominantly good and love than evil and sin, we would have had a plethora of Hitlers, Stalins, and Maos. We would be inundated with people who were evil and just trying to murder everyone and control everything. And we're not. It may seem that way, but if you look at the majority of human beings walking the planet, regardless of what their faith is,
or where they live,
they are not predominantly evil people who want to control and kill love and God's creation and murder and rule. And, you know, they just want to be an individual.
Right.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about anything spiritually as far as being connected to God or salvation or anything like that. I'm just talking about in the realm of our existence, that we look out across humanity.
Human nature, yeah.
Right. And our human nature, I think that there's infinitely more good than there is evil in the spirit of man.
Or we would have been extinct a long time ago.
Well, they have tried, as you know, and you've all talked about it many, many times, but they are killing us right now. Evil people are killing us, and they're doing it not with guns. There's no guns involved
in it, okay?
They're doing it with food. They're doing it with pharmaceuticals. They're doing it in many, many ways that people don't even dream of. And the good people out there, okay, are doing nothing and don't recognize it.
But Michael, there's a lot of huge numbers now who get that, and the ones who get it are spreading the word daily, hourly, and minute by minute through every means possible, face to face, on the radio, on the blogs. People are waking up in droves. I mean, that okay, Chick-fil-A thing said it all, man. Oh, that was high.
Well, you know,
one more thing. Let me close out here, and I'm going to let you go, okay?
Okay.
Just one more thing, okay? If what you say, if what all of you say is true, then I will believe you this fall when Ron Paul wins the election and all the good people out there vote for a good man, okay? Then I'll believe you, okay, on what you said tonight. But until then, I remain in doubt, and I love all of you very much. Take care, and God bless.
God bless you. We love you too, Michael.
I'm sorry to say, but in a way, I slowly agree with Michael on some things of that. I don't think things will get better.
Well, here's the point, and I understand where Michael's coming from. I really do. And I understand where Rod's coming from. He said, why would people be good if there was no God? I am not saying there is no God, okay? So I guess the
talking about is the person's character.
Right.
The person's character.
Right. And,
not his religious beliefs, his character.
Correct. What I'm saying, and that's why I put in the chat room, without God, there is no love. God is love, okay? But I think Michael and Rod both, and our other listeners, would have to at least admit that even people who don't claim to know God, who don't have a Christian walk or a personal relationship with God, are capable of and experience love.
They're actually having a relationship without knowing it.
Exactly. Just because they don't recognize that it is God in their life doesn't mean that he's not there. Doesn't mean that that spirit of love is not within each of them.
That means some one of us hasn't gotten there yet and told them of God.
Or they haven't opened their ears to listen.
And their heart.
Their heart to listen
heart.
To God.
That could be.
Right.
So my point is that God created each of us the same.
Right.
In that we each have that ability and that spirit in us inherently. Thankfully, fewer of us fall into darkness and give way to evil than those who don't. Even if we may be one of those that never truly finds God, that doesn't mean we're inherently evil. It just means we failed. That's all I was trying to say.
Right.
When you look at the actual numbers that are supposed to get into heaven and percentages, the truth is the majority don't go.
I know. According to Scripture, they don't. It's not that God doesn't want them. It's just that he kind of knows their choice.
Yeah. Therein is what we're here, what it's all about, is trying to win all those that we can, every single one that we can, to that.
Correct. Correct. And the fact that the numbers are small still doesn't mean that the majority that go to hell, okay, doesn't mean that the majority of them were evil people in nature. They may have been very wonderful people, very loving and caring people. They just failed. They simply failed.
But the choice,
were misled.
Well, that's
sure.
True. But I think that if
and it
one
wasn't,
does,
and it wasn't in vain,
right?
Because that's part of God's plan. And he tells you that. You look in Revelation where, you know, you go back in Luke and some of the other Gospels, and I've spoken of this before. My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. How are you led astray? You're led astray because you don't have the knowledge. So you're fooled. You're deceived. And so that in the scripture,
you got to have two things, Rob. You got to have knowledge and the wisdom of how to use the knowledge.
Certainly, wisdom comes from knowledge, but it comes from discernment. But there's a specific word used in the scripture, destroyed. My people are destroyed. And I did a strong concordance word search on destroyed and also on knowledge. And interestingly enough, we find in God's judgment, when he pours out his wrath on the earth, okay, his wrath is represented by one of the seven bowl judgments. And what's in the bowl of God's wrath is the blood of those that were destroyed. Okay?
Wow.
So even those that were destroyed, and why were they destroyed? We go back to the scripture and we know they were destroyed for a lack of knowledge.
Mm.
Their life was not in vain because God uses their blood, their destruction, to pour out his wrath on the earth as part of his final judgment. So it's all part of that plan.
Wow. But we're all given a choice. I mean, when he was resurrected, the choice was clear. That, you know, and he gave us free will from the jump, Ron. So, I mean, all you have to do is say, well, do I want to be a part of his kingdom or do I want to be a part of the world, you know, system?
Right.
So if you choose to serve him and try to keep his commandments and try to get others to follow and be written in the Lamb's Book of Life, then I believe that was one of the things he wanted his disciples to go forth to, and all of us, you know, as descendants. So I don't know where, and it's sad that people don't get that, but, you know, that's their choice. They have free will. I just have to pray for them, you know, so.
And that's, again, I think, why we have to make sure that we're focusing on God.
Yep.
And, you know, this is one of the things that I'm telling you, you know, I was very honored the other night when you guys were giving me praise for the show and the caller that called in. And I do have a sense of pride in that, you know, 5 years ago, I would not have been able to have that conversation. It would have came out much, much differently. 2 years ago, I wouldn't have been able to have that conversation.
It would have been a screaming match with much expletives, I'm sure.
Yeah, but my standard response to anyone who disagreed with me was typically, F you, you're an idiot, you know, that kind of thing.
Get off my phone, you dope, yeah.
Right, exactly. Because I didn't realize that I needed to try
to
take
that.
You know, I didn't recognize that it wasn't necessarily someone making a personal attack on me as much as it is someone just simply out of ignorance, not understanding.
I know.
And so it's my job to try and help lead them to that understanding and make them question what they thought they believed themselves.
Yeah. And you know, it goes back to the saying is, please don't take my word for this. Do your own damn homework. God, I mean, it drives me.
Well, that's something we can't say enough.
I know. Absolutely. It drives you. It does. It's frustrating.
And, you know, if you remember back, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Linda.
Okay.
If you remember back, and again, I'm not trying to blow my own horn, but if you guys, if you think back to when I first came on Patriot Families, okay, and I had so much I wanted to tell everyone.
Right.
And I couldn't because I would put things out and some people got offended immediately because it was completely misunderstood. And others, you know, people were asking me for the answers. And I'm like, you don't get it.
I know.
I can't give you the answers.
Right.
I'm not capable of giving
right.
you the answers.
Right.
The only way that you can find the answer is to seek it out yourself. I can't give it to you.
Right.
If I wanted to on a silver platter, I can't.
Because there's no Vulcan mind meld. That's
correct.
That's it. It's it on a stick, man. I'm telling you.
And
I know.
And in order for you to fully grasp it and digest it and hold on to it, know it, and understand it, you've got to be, it has to be revealed to you right before your eyes in a way that you understand it and it becomes part of you.
It's
difficult to explain it any other way.
I know. You're right. And this is how people learn, Ron. I mean, it's everybody, some people learn visually, some people learn by written words, some people learn by hearing because, you know, some people have ADD, whatever. You know, everybody has a different method of absorbing knowledge. And really, literally the knowledge, if they get it in the right way, it's written in stone across their heart. And
exactly.
It never goes away. And so however you get there, you have to do it on your own. No one can do it for you. That's what Terry Rowland tears her hair out about. You know, it's impossible. Even God can't do it. He doesn't even jump inside your body and give you all his knowledge. I mean, please.
He could.
But
that
but
would
won't.
Kind of that would kind of ruin the whole point of the exercise, wouldn't it?
Right. No, that's the whole point too, because he gave us free will from the beginning.
Precisely.
He gave them free will to take the apple or not to take the apple. And then they screwed up, and then, you know, there we go. So,
and he did it knowing their decision beforehand.
Ron brought a measure when he came. We were short on knowledge on, truthfully. And when he started going about the Constitution and the monetary systems and stuff, so many of us learned a great deal. And they're still learning from Ron what Ron does, and it's awesome, Ron, that you do that.
It's amazing, but
I think that's each one of us. And you know, the other night I said I still don't know what my purpose is, but I think that's not true. I think I do know what my purpose is, and I think it's the same purpose every one of us has, and that is to teach one another.
You bet. Oh my God, and spread the word to others, to the other groups.
Absolutely.
Oh, man. Oh,
but and see, you look at what Christ did, okay?
Oh.
If we look at the example of Christ in the Gospels, okay, it wasn't simply a matter of just going out and making a statement.
Right.
Okay? It was more than that. He tried to put things in terms that the people there could understand, they could relate to in their daily lives.
Right. Oh, yes.
Okay. And he did it with love.
Oh, yeah.
And he also did it by example.
Sure.
He conducted himself. He was not a hypocrite by any stretch.
Nope.
So that's lessons for us that we, you know, part of the deal, it's enough to go and share the gospel. Okay? It's not simply enough to just recant what we've read in the Bible.
Right.
We have to be able to relate it in a manner to each other, to one another and others, in a manner that they can understand it more, a deeper understanding than just simply reading it on a page in a book.
Right. And nothing speaks louder than actions. Nothing. I mean, this is
correct.
That's what I think we've learned from Christ, what we've learned from each other, what we've learned from the other people who've gone before us. I mean, the Milton Friedmans and the Adam Smiths and the Hayeks. I mean, this is what we have to do. And this is why every time we've gone to rallies, everywhere we've gone, I don't think the $100,000 reward was ever collected. From Andrew Breitbart's organization.
It never was.
What?
It never was.
No, okay. Well, this is what I'm saying. And the place, the mall, we had 900,000 people, or damn close to 900,000 people when I was there. And we picked up gum wrappers that weren't even ours. I mean, it was like spotless. It was like a vacuum cleaner went over that place. We show love because this is who we are. And we're not perfect, but by Christ, we're trying to, and this is what it's all about, man. I think that's what Christ wanted us to do. He want not only just, you can't talk the talk without walking the walk. It ain't going to fly in anybody's world.
We're not out here doing this for our own personal selves. We're out here doing this for our fellow Americans and the children and those that can't do it. That's why we're out here doing this. And when they understand that this is not a selfish reasoning. This is not a self-guided thing. It's not about me.
That's right.
It's about the future generations. It's about my country as a whole.
Yeah, it's about principle. My God.
Yep.
It's about moral principle.
Virtue.
And, we can disagree on lots of things, and that's fine. It's okay. The world would be a very boring place. We all agreed on everything, other than the fact that I'd be in charge. but, and Bill, I know where you're coming from, and I would love to make the claim that it's not about me, and I know it's not. But at some level within myself, I understand that it also is for a selfish reason that I do these things, and not wholly selfish. It's my conscience. I can't simply sit and watch something go by that is just wholly false and completely wrong or evil and not say something about it.
I know.
When it benefits
me or not.
Out. I have to speak out.
And I know it benefits me.
I do that because
me.
It hurts my heart, so it is selfish in that way.
Yeah, and I know it benefits me, but it's not. I'm not doing it because it benefits me, if that makes any sense.
I know, but it goes beyond that, Ron, because what you're doing is exactly what the founders did, and when they talked about posterity, they meant it. And that's what we're talking about here. This is the posterity of this country, this God-given, beautiful city on the hill, and I'm telling you, we're on the precipice of losing it all and going to the dark ages like hell hath no fury. I can't even imagine another 4 years of this schmuck. And I love Ron Paul, and if he could get in there, then I would be, I swear I'd become I don't need to become a nun.
I'm telling you, I think that a large majority of Americans right now have buyer's remorse with Romney the same way they had buyer's remorse with McCain. And that's what got Obama elected.
You're not seeing the numbers that you should be seeing. Simply, when you look at those that aren't happy about the whole thing, the numbers aren't there. You're not getting the support. And then you're talking about candidates that for vice president, everyone you're wanting to choose and put out there, the media and Romney and put out there in front of us, is the establishment candidates that nobody freaking wants.
Right. Well, and the people recognize the fact that it doesn't have a damn thing to do with the vice president.
No.
It just doesn't have a damn thing to do with who the vice president is. It simply does not. It's inconsequential. And the idea, and this, I think this really shows how far we've gone down the sewer.
Yeah.
That presidential campaigns are now more about who the vice president is going to be as to whether or not they're going to get a favorable vote in the popular vote. I mean, think about it. It's not just so much the president. Now it's the vice president, for God's sakes.
Theater.
It is. It's kabuki theater. It's absolute theater.
It is. Yeah. It's disgusting. And then when you talk about how the whole electoral college works, and I understand why Michael doesn't want to vote, but here's the thing. Yes, I'm going to cast a vote for the conservative. Hopefully it would be Ron Paul. I can
see, I cannot in good conscience, even though knowing that my vote, if I went and voted for Mitt Romney, wouldn't get him elected, I cannot in good conscience cast a vote for that man.
Right.
I can't do it.
How does the Electoral College be determined? How do they get their mojo to get where they're going? That's my question.
They're chosen. Every state is probably a bit different. But as I understand it here in Georgia, they are chosen by their respective parties much okay. kind of like a delegate process
okay.
that we went
okay.
through for delegates for the
got
convention. You know, here in Georgia, we've got 45 electors for the Electoral College. There's 15 Democrats, 15 Republicans, and 15 independents.
Yeah.
And it reads like a who's who list. I mean, you know, we've got the former mayor. We've got the guy that's in charge of the agriculture department here in the state of Georgia who's a Democrat. We've got a former governor who was a Democrat. You know, we've got business leaders on the Republican side. We've got bankers and lawyers on the Democrat side.
Yeah, so what my answer to Michael Magic was, you know, what's happening here in California, I've got Dan Hughes to vote for senator against Feinstein. I've got Daryl Issa going up against some stupid Democrat progressive commie. I've got issues. I've got two or three council people to try to, you know, vote out and others vote in. I've got measures. I've got Governor Brown's tax nonsense. I've got this is huge. This isn't just presidential. I've got tons of people on my ballot. So I understand the Electoral College thing. I understand that the popular vote does not get him in office, whoever that's going to be. But all the other issues, those votes that I cast for those measures in my city, those count. Those councilmen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's why I go, are you kidding me? I'm never giving that right up again. You know, no. They better have a 308 at my head, and then I'll take a couple of them with me. No, I'm going to keep voting for those people. You bet. And I'll campaign for the ones I like. And anybody that, you know, and I told Esther today, she's a councilwoman. She's running for election. And I said, you want my vote? You better start. If you say you're for the people, man, you better prove it to me.
I'll tell you what, we better be praising God that we have an electoral college, because George Bush lost the popular vote to Al Gore.
He did. Yep. I'm sure he did. You know.
I know he did. I mean, the numbers are there. And even with the shenanigans that both sides pull in the election, it's a popularity contest. The only thing that matters is the Electoral College in the presidential election. And if we had an actual popular vote that elected president, we would be talking about President Gore.
Oh my God!
Oh my God!
Yeah.
Gag me! Oh, there we'd be screwed, Bill.
Yeah,
we'd be so much further in debt right now.
I'm telling you, he would have made Obama look like a choir boy.
Yeah, that guy was evil. Oh, huge, and he was. Fat
it's bad enough how many are still out there following his lies.
They're still doing it. They're still doing it. I know. We got about 6 minutes left. You guys have any parting shots? And I can do a rundown for the show. And thank you so much for calling in. It was great. And I don't know what happened to Hollis, but I know he's got a good excuse. So we're going to give him a pass.
Well, I thank you for hosting. Glad to have Ron calling in. And I just want to say, we ain't done by a long shot. There's still hope. Get out there, keep fighting. Start on the local levels, and let's take it to the top.
You
God
bet.
Bless America.
God
Good
bless
night,
you,
everyone.
Bill, and your family. And, we've got God on our side, I hope, and I know I'm on his side. And I think that, let's face it, he's going to prevail no matter what.
Absolutely.
So.
And I just can't say enough, you know, that I think regardless of what we do, God's will is going to be done.
Yep.
I'm certain of.
Yep.
But that does not by any stretch of the imagination mean that I would advocate giving up fighting against what I know to be wrong.
Exactly.
There isn't a snowball's chance in Hades that I'll ever do that.
Well, it would be like asking you to not snatch a 2-year-old out from the traffic situation. I mean, that's how I feel about it.
It's
and
like
I know.
Asking a dog to meow. It's just not going to happen.
Absolutely. It's not in our nature, and it's not in our DNA. And God bless you guys. And what's tomorrow? Tomorrow is my show, so that's Right from Left Coast. I've got a whole bunch of stuff on what happened yesterday and on the rest of the week. Thank you guys all for calling in. God bless you. And I know Bill's awaiting my little present to his grandchild the one who collects the shells, because I've sent off some beautiful shells here from California and a couple from Hawaii, so I hope she gets them in good shape and they don't have to glue them together. But we have myself and then Terry, of course, with Patriot Education. That woman is astounding. I love her. You would have to live to be 600 years old to catch up to her on reading. So got to see her show, and that's 7 p.m. Eastern, mine is 7 p.m. Eastern on Right from Left Coast. We have Fridays. We don't know who's on Fridays, if there's any shows lately. Michael Magic will be back at the end of the month or September for his Exposing the Illusion, 7 p.m. Eastern. We have Sundays, Fed Up Frank, and we all try to, and hopefully Ron can do that one again for Frank, because we were praying for Frank every night that he gets healing from the Lord so that he can come back again. And that's the Fed Up Frank show, 7 p.m. Eastern on Sundays. We have Monday, Constitution Hour with Ron Golden from Georgia. He's great. He knows the law. He can, like, debate anybody. It's wonderful. So, and we love him for that. And he's a good Christian follower. And that's my favorite part about it, because he's amazing. And all of us at Patriot Families, we love our Lord, and we try to pray for each other. And we're looking forward to next year's reunion, because that will be another great fellowship. And then we have Bill and Hollis. Hopefully Hollis will be back next Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern for a Patriot Family Chat, which I'm filling in for Hollis tonight. And it was wonderful. Thank you guys so much. I'm going to get out with a and of course, tomorrow, Wednesday, is my show. But we're going to do a little bit more of the some music here, if I can find it. Let's see. Here we go. One of my favorite ones, and Michael Magic did this, so I'll take you all out with this, and God bless, and we'll see you guys tomorrow for my show, and love you, and hope you all tune in, and tell your friends. Thank you. God bless.
Crystal blue persuasion.